Well, I've enjoyed the service already. I have enjoyed my time of preaching this week. One old preacher was asked one time who his favorite preacher was. He said, me. He said, well, what's your favorite sermon? He said, the next one. Amen. God has brought me a long way. And I know that you have prayed and you have sought God on my behalf. The first sermon that I preached after God raised me up, I know you won't believe that this week, but I preached for 5 minutes and I was finished. The second sermon, I preached 7 minutes and I was finished. To see how God has blessed us this week and allowed us just to get in the pulpit and be ourselves again. I was sitting over there thinking, if I was not a member of Saline Baptist Church, I would join Grace Baptist Church because there's so much of God in this church right now. We're not a great multitude, but I believe with all my heart everyone that's here loves God and wants to see the will of God done in this place. So I thank you for your prayers. I want to ask you to continue to pray that God will direct us. We've had opportunities maybe to be a pastor. Things didn't work out there. And we have another church down close to Jacksonville, Florida that's just contacted us. And so we're right in the middle of praying, trying to seek God on whether He wants us back in evangelism or whether to be a pastor. So you help us pray about that. Genesis chapter 22 in your Bible. Genesis chapter number 22. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1. And read down through verse number 14, a little lengthy reading. But tonight I won't preach as long as we have been doing. But I just have a thought on my heart that I want to encourage you with. As we live for God on a daily basis. Genesis chapter 22. If you found that, would you stand with us if you're physically able? Genesis 22, look at verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now let me pause right there in verse 1 and just say to you, when God tempts Abraham, it's nothing even comparable to the temptation of the devil. God is not trying to draw Abraham out of his will. But God knows how much Abraham loves him. But something is fixing to happen that's going to show Abraham how much Abraham loves God. And I believe with all my heart, there is a whole lot more spirituality in every one of us than any of us realize. And there are times that we go through things that we don't understand, and God's purpose is to reveal to us that number one, we love Him more than we realized we did. We trust Him more than we realized we trusted Him. And we have more of God inside of us than we ever dreamed was there. That's the definition of this word, tempt. Verse number 2. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That's very important. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looking, behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by the horn. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again tonight for this time of worship. Thank you for your children that have come this way, Lord, hungry for something from heaven. Thank you for every testimony, as we've reflected upon those that have meant so much to our lives and enabled us to be the person that we are today. We have you to thank for that, but we want to thank you, Lord, for raising up people that have influenced our lives. And I pray now as we enter into this time of preaching that you will lay your hand of anointing upon us. God, you will put your words in my mind and upon my heart. Give us a sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost to be able to preach, Lord, as any man stands in need. I pray that you'll speak to everyone under the sound of my voice. Cause this altar to be a precious place in our sight. May we realize tonight that that is where I commune with God. I pray you'll have your way. Draw those, Lord, that maybe have sin in their lives, and revive your people is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen and amen. Thinking you might be seated tonight. Ordinarily, when you hear these verses read, you'll hear a preacher preach on the typology of Christ. And that is the proper way to preach these verses. But tonight, I want to bring to your attention verse number 12. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Now watch this statement in verse number 12. For now I know the angel of the Lord has a conversation with Abraham. And the angel says, Now I know. I know that you fear God, that fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. We know Abraham in our Bible as the father of faith. That it nothing to begin with but the call of God, Abraham separates himself from his land and from his family and goes in search of a place that God had told him of. One of the examples of the faith of Abraham is found in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. For Abraham loves God so much that he is willing to sacrifice his own son if that is what God would require. There's one thing that all of us needs to keep in mind. That God has already told Abraham that he would raise up a great nation from the seed of Isaac. He said that his seed would be as great as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. So I believe that Abraham knew and had enough faith that he believed God that if he did sacrifice his son upon that altar, God would raise him from the dead. It's an example of trusting God even in times that you and I don't understand. But I'm particularly interested in that statement tonight where the angel said, "Now I know." There will be many times in your life that you will be involved in the will of God. Many times. For example, on the day that you were saved, thank God, the will of God was that you would not die and go to hell, but be gloriously saved by the grace of God. That was His will. As you begin your journey, you begin to experience the will of God. And God begin to direct you in different paths. If I were to sit down right now and take testimonies about the will of God in our lives, every one of us would have a different testimony about the way God has directed us. But the one thing we'd all have in common is that God has a will for our life. Even though Abraham experienced His will so many times in his life, of which direction to go, which people to leave, what city to seek after, Abraham is doing nothing but trying to live in the middle of the will of God. But I submit to you tonight that the will of God involved the life of Abraham not only in many times, but in this one specific time. I believe that Abraham realized that this was why God put him upon this earth, to be able to say, "I trust God so much that I'm willing to sacrifice my own son if that is the will of God." And Abraham discovered that there was a reason why God had him upon this earth. I've heard many say at different times, "I don't know why God has me upon this earth." But I can promise you tonight, somewhere out there ahead of you, you too are going to discover that God has a will for your life. There's a reason why that He has not taken you on to heaven. Some have been through great physical trials and surgeries, and even some dealt with cancer, and their life was on the threshold of death, and yet God seen fit not to take you, but to leave you in this walk of life. Some have lived so many years that the body just won't function like it used to function. It won't do what it used to do. And now you realize that you're not a young person anymore. And even though the years have creeped up, and you wonder, why am I still alive and why am I on this earth? I can stand on this platform tonight and promise you that somewhere up ahead of you, you're going to discover the will of God for your life. There is a reason why God has you here. As a matter of fact, there is no greater example in our Bible of the will of God than to look at the life of the Lord Jesus Himself. Do you remember when Judas betrayed our Lord? The Bible said that he came in the garden where the Lord was praying and brought a band of men with him of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they sought the life of Christ. As they come, the Bible said Judas places a kiss upon his cheek. And Jesus said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And so they took hold of Jesus. Do you know what happened? Peter pulled out a sword. I've often wondered when I read that scripture, what's a preacher doing with a sword to start with? Amen. What's a preacher doing with a 38 under his front seat anyway? But Peter had a sword, and he drew the sword and smote off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. And the Bible said that Jesus reached down, took the ear, and put it back on. What a Savior. And he said something to Peter that day that's very important. He said, they that live by the sword should die by the sword. He said, the cup that my Father gave me, shall I not drink of it? In verse 37 of that same chapter, Jesus said these words, for this cause came I into the world. He said, this is the reason that I'm here. Peter pulls out a sword. The natural response is to stop what is fixing to happen. And as they besiege the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter, not knowing the will of God, Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world. Somewhere out there ahead of you, I can promise you tonight, is the will of God. God is not finished with you. God has not given up on you. But there is a reason why you're still taking breath. There's a reason why you still exist. It goes far beyond being the chief cook and bottle washer. It goes far beyond the job that you have and the provider for your family. Somewhere out ahead of you, there is a will of God. So I want to encourage you tonight to press on, dear saint of God. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't come to the place where you throw in the towel. But no matter how difficult the situation gets, just press on. Amen. Because somewhere up there, you're going to discover that God has a reason for you being on this earth. It could be as many reasons as possible, but I believe there is one specific reason, and you will discover what that reason is as you live your life. Do you remember in the story of Joseph, how Joseph was the favored son of his father, Jacob? I never have thought that was right. I believe a parent ought to love every child equally. But Jacob loved Joseph because he was the son of his beloved wife, Rebekah. And he loved him and made him a coat of many colors. And his brothers began to get jealous over that thing. Do you remember when Joseph had a dream? And Joseph in his dream said that the moon and the stars gave obedience unto me. And all you knelt down before me. That made them even more angry. And one day when Joseph was out searching for his brothers in the field, the Bible said they caught hold of him and cast him down into a pit and intended to leave him to die. The Bible said the Ishmaelites were coming by. And Reuben said, let's take him out and sell him to the Ishmaelites and let them take him into Egypt and sell him. And there, my friend, Joseph was sold into slavery. Do you remember the story how that Potiphar bought Joseph? And Joseph, the Bible said, over and over and over, while he was in the house of Potiphar, and the Lord was with Joseph. You would have thought that was the reason that God had Joseph upon the face of this earth. And yet, you know the story how Potiphar's wife tried to lie with Joseph. And Joseph ran out of his coat, had enough character to say no to her, and ran away. After being accused of being the aggressor, Joseph is thrown into prison. And there shares the prison with a butler and a baker. They have a dream. And you would have thought that that's the reason God sent Joseph down to Egypt, so that he could interpret the dream of the baker and the butler. And he restored the butler to his position and prophesied that the baker would be beheaded. And it came to pass. Do you remember then Pharaoh had a dream? And none of the magicians could interpret the dream. And they sought for Joseph up out of the prison. They brought him in, and Joseph said to Pharaoh, only God can interpret dreams. And so he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh and said there'll be 7 years of famine, and or 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. He said, you better store up. You would have thought that's the reason God had Joseph down in Egypt, so that he can preserve the life of all those Egyptians in the 7 years of famine. But then the Bible said one day his own brothers came through the gate of the city, and they come to buy grain to make bread, for the famine was sore in the land of Canaan. And you know the story, and I won't go into all of it. But Joseph looked at his brothers on their second time there. And Joseph said, you sold me into slavery. You meant it for the bad. But watch this. But Joseph said, but God meant it for the good. That day Joseph discovered the real will of God for his life. Somewhere out there ahead of you, you're going to discover the will of God. The will of God is satisfying. It is fulfilling. It is well-pleasing to know that the God in heaven has something that you can do for Him on the face of this earth. Do you remember the story of Esther? Remember how that King Ahasuerus had a great feast, a drunkard party, if you would please, and they had become so well drunken that they sought for Queen Vashti to come in and dance before them. If you know anything about this day and time, You'll understand that only servants danced. That's why the daughter-in-law of Herod danced before him. And he offered her up to half his kingdom because it just wasn't done. Only servants danced. So the queen had enough character about her that she refused to go in unto that drunkard party. And so the men rose up and said, if your wife don't obey you, then our wives won't obey us, so you're to get rid of her as an example to our wives. And the thing pleased the king. So the men said to the king, seek through the land for young virgins and choose you another queen to take Vashti's place. What they didn't realize, that in the midst of all those young virgins that were sought, there was a young lady by the name of Esther that come in. She's a young Jewish girl, a virgin, pure as the wind is on a bright sunny morning. And she comes in and pleases the Lord. She's a very unusual lady because her parents are deceased and she's raised by her uncle named Mordecai. And Esther goes in before the king, and when the king sees her, he immediately falls in love with her and chooses her to be the next queen. He doesn't know that she is a captive girl. He doesn't know that she is a Jew. And there is a man that is risen in the ranks among the king's men by the name of Haman. Haman was this day's Adolf Hitler. He was a Jew hater and wanted all Jews to die because Mordecai would not bow down in obedience unto him. And as the new queen is getting used to her position, and the king has fallen deeply in love with her, the decree comes out from the king that all Jews everywhere shall be killed. Mordecai sends word to Queen Esther and said, "Think not that thy life shall be preserved because you're in the king's house." He said, if you don't stand up and you don't bring deliverance to the Jews, then God will find a deliverance somewhere else. And the queen sent word back to him and said, it is not lawful for to go in unto the king except the scepter be risen. And the king has not sought for me. But Esther said something that changed all their lives. She said, you fast and pray 3 days, and me and my maidens will fast likewise, and I will go in unto the king, which is not lawful to do. I say to you tonight that Esther discovered the will of God for her life. She discovered that God had raised her up to be a preserver of the life of the Jews. And somewhere out there ahead of you, God has His perfect will. You will discover it. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. I think about men like Moses that when he was born, was seen a goodly child. And the Bible said that his mother put him in a little ark and set him sail out in the waters alone. The daughter of Pharaoh seen him. I won't go into all the story, but you know how that Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. He was esteemed and recognized as one of the elite. You would have thought to yourself, that's why God put him upon this earth, so that Moses could be in such a position of honor. But then news comes one day, And Moses reveals the truth that he in fact is not an Egyptian, but he is a Jew himself. So he is banished from the land. The Bible said for 40 years he journeyed out in the wilderness, not knowing the will of God. One day he turned aside and seen a bush on Mount Sinai that was burning but not consumed. And the Bible said that he said, I will turn aside and see this great wonder. When he got there, he had a conversation with God. And God said, I want to send you to my people Israel that they may be delivered out of bondage. Moses did probably what any of us would. He began to come up with reasons and excuses. He went so far as to say, I'm not eloquent at speech. God said, I'll give you Aaron. And Aaron can talk in your behalf. And so Moses finally goes to Jethro. And he said these words, let me go, that I may go to the house of Israel and lead them from bondage. I submit to you tonight, church, that Moses found the will of God for his life out there in the wilderness. And the will of God is somewhere ahead of you. Somewhere up, just probably not even far away. You're going to discover what it is and why it is that God still has you upon this earth. I remember reading about Jonah. Jonah was a great example. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah and said, go down to Tarshish, that great city, and cry against it. And the Bible said he went in the opposite direction and ran from the will of God. And the Bible said that while he is on a ship, a great storm came. And they begin to cast lots to try to figure out, why is the storm so mighty? Why is the storm prevailing against us? As they cast lots, the lot fell upon Jonah. And Jonah said, I serve the God that made the land and the sea, and I'm to blame. Cast me over, and the sea will become calm to you. And I want to tell you, it's a picture of the world, because the world just picked him up and threw him right over the side of the ship. Immediately the storm was made calm. But God had prepared a great fish. Somebody said that a whale cannot swallow a man. Well, the only thing I can say to you tonight, that was a custom-made whale. It was made to feed on backslid preachers. And this one fed on Jonah and swallowed him down. And after about 3 days, God said to the fish, don't you feel a little sick? The fish probably said, I've been noticing I don't feel so good. He said, why don't you go over on shore there and do your business? I've looked at that story over and over, and I'm amazed that that fish could carry him 3 days without getting sick on the first one. Anybody backslid on God, going in the opposite direction that God wants you to go, would make anyone sick enough to make them want to vomit. Jonah was vomited upon the land. One of the greatest miracles of your Bible. You know what the Bible says in chapter 2? And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Jonah. And Jonah said, which way is it to Nineveh? I need to go to Nineveh. I've got to cry out against that great city. I've got to find it. Where is it? Anybody know how to get there? immediately Jonah discovered that God had a will for his life. I want to say to you tonight, you are important to God. Your existence is vital because God Himself has a will for your life. Somewhere out there, a day will come and you'll know that you're in the will of God. You'll look back on this message and you'll say, I remember when Brother Hatfield said, God has a will for my life. I believe as a child of God, there should be some things involved in our life when it comes to the will of God. I believe there should be a hunger for God's will. I believe we ought to seek God for His will. I believe we ought to find and do what Abraham did here. Build an altar and call upon the name of our God. And say, Lord, I want to know Your will. I want to discover why I'm on this earth. I think one of the most empty feelings that any of us will ever experience is to live in this life and not know why God has us in this place. I'm giving you just a few examples in our Bible of people that discovered the will of God. And I want to say to you tonight, God has a will for your life. There should be a hunger for it. There should be an appetite to know two things in your life. First of all, I want to know where God wants me to be. Can you say that tonight? Can you honestly say, I am where God wants me to be? Secondly, there should be a desire to do what God wants you to do once you get where He wants you to be. I would ask you this question, are you doing what God wants you to do? Today, I had the privilege to peek into the will of God. He probably will not be comfortable with me saying this, but at his age, I seen Brother Jay out in the yard pushing a lawnmower. I've heard stories about having to clean out septic lines and do jobs around this building that just had to be done. I use him as an example, but there are others in this room that I could use also. But I believe with all my heart, if I've ever met a man that wanted to know the will of God, Brother Jay is one of those men. Do you know God's will for your life? If not, then start out with two things. God, where do you want me? And what do you want me to do when I get there? Let's stand and bow for prayer.